Again, I'm glad to be here and to be with you, brethren, on another time. And I know that, you know, we live in a world that is full of time-saving devices everywhere we look. And yet we've got less time than at any time in my lifetime. And a lot of that has to do with when we have the ability to consume ourselves with something, we often, it's human nature, it's part of human nature that we will have a tendency to do those things. You might have something that, some particular thing that that we like to do, and if the opportunity to do it comes, we just go on and on and on with it. And with technological advances and things of that nature, we have the tendency to grab a hold of whatever it is that we like and continue on it. One of the things that just to give the picture of it from another aspect of our lives is, you know, sometimes part of the health problems that we exist in the country in which we live exist because if I like something, I can go out to the store and buy it, and I can continue to eat the same thing. And we don't get the variety in our diet that once existed, not because it's not there to be had, but because sometimes we just want to keep eating the same thing. And so it is with lots of other aspects of our life. If we enjoy the news, we can have that around the clock.
Right.
If we enjoy love stories, we can have them around the clock. If we enjoy games and trivia and things of that nature, we can pretty much have that around the clock. And all of these things can have. I'm not saying they do, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with any of the things that I've mentioned. I'm going to make that clear. But if we don't pay attention, we'll allow the natural things that we like in this world to overtake the time that we have to spend in meditation and in study and in prayer to our Lord and Savior.
True.
And I've often thought about and I guess since Carol and I have been married, we've never taken a newspaper in 35 years. Not because I never read a newspaper, but we just, it's one of those things that we just never got started doing. And but of course we do get news from other places like television and radio and so forth and so on. One of the things that I've often tried to do is spend at least half as much time in the Word of God every day as I do getting news.
Isn't that something?
And what I find is that I fail at that an awful lot. In other words, I'm not talking about something that I've done a great job of and that I've always lived up to it. But in striving to do that, you know, I spend a lot of time in the Word of God. And it becomes easy for us to lose sight of the good news, the gospel, and the things that are in it for us. And it becomes very easy to become consumed by the things that we see in this world and the understanding of things, things that are often very important to us. things that have value in the natural sense. I'm not speaking about things that are immoral here, or things that are something that we just want to avoid altogether, but I'm talking about how we spend our lives as God's little children. And I want to read some scripture, and I've been trying to decide where to begin and where to end, and I'm going to read all of what I have. It's a fair amount of reading. I won't be able to, of course, go over all of that, but I trust and pray the Lord will be in the matter of the reading of it to cause us to think a little bit about what we spend our time doing on a daily basis. And how much time do we really spend devoted to our Lord and Savior? Not to condemn anybody. Now, not to cause us to look at ourselves and think, you know, but to cause us to stop and think about what importance we place in our Lord and Savior.
Sure.
And in the teaching that's found in His Word, the instruction for you and I, and that we might, you know, look at and see why it is that we don't spend more time with Him. In the 2 Corinthian letter, in the 4th chapter, and I'm going to read, Lord willing, the whole chapter. So beginning with the first verse, this is the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth. And he says, "Therefore, seeing we have received this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I have believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The Apostle Paul has here addressed, and actually, like I say, it's a lot of reading, and I can't cover at as in depth as we may would like to go. But the Apostle Paul is addressing here that we have this ministry.
Yep.
Now, when he says we have the ministry and he's talking about what the ministry is, what I want us to understand, he's not saying that I have the ministry.
Right.
He's not saying that only we ministers have the ministry. But that we, as the church of the true and living God, that we have this ministry.
Amen.
And seeing that we have this ministry, we faint not. Not just the ministers, but also the congregation. That we may understand the God that spoke this world into existence. That we may rejoice in the same Lord who instructed Noah to build the ark. And I'm not saying that it never had, but we don't have any evidence from the scriptures that it ever rained on the earth. Like I say, I'm not saying that it hadn't ever. I'm just saying that the scriptures don't give any evidence of that. And so Noah builds this ark. And him and his family is delivered. And we know that later on, that Abraham would be called out of Mesopotamia at 75 years of age. And told to essentially follow the Lord into a land that I'm going to show you.
Right.
And that I'm going to give to you and to your descendants as an inheritance. And the same God who spoke to Moses and blessed him to see that his people who were about to be delivered out of the land of Egypt and the bondage that was there, caused these men to see that there's a God in heaven who spoke this world into existence and who providentially cares for the situation and condition of his people.
Yes, he does.
Who watches over the world as a whole, but in a special way.
His people.
His people.
Amen.
And the gospel message that we have today that existed in the Apostle Paul's time hasn't always existed upon the face of the earth. And that the privilege that we have of coming and gathering together in the church of the true and living God, whether it's here at Happy Creek or at Mount Carmel where I was this morning, or wherever it might be, and that we gather together, the important thing is that we gather together and hear about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because Noah, who was a preacher of righteousness in his day, he didn't have the gospel message like you and I have it today. I'm sure the Lord had revealed many things to him, but indeed he didn't have all we have today. And Abraham, when he was called out, and you know, Abraham was called out of Mesopotamia, it's a place full of idol worship, a place full of ungodliness,
right,
and falsehood. I mean, that's what Abraham grew up seeing, knowing, and understanding. That's all he was taught by his family,
right,
and by his culture in which he grew up in, and by the people that he knew. And remember, he was 75 years of age. And the Lord said, I've got a place to show you that I'm going to give to you and to your descendants, even though he had no descendants at that time. And of course, Moses likewise didn't have any scripture, didn't have any church, no place to go to, but the Lord revealed himself to these men and that he might work righteousness through them, that he might open them to see and to understand who he was. That he might bless his people with a blessing that had never been known before. And he was about to take them into the Old Testament age. You see, there was a time when God's children, we know that in the beginning Adam was created,
right,
and Adam knew God, and Adam had fellowship with God in a very grand and great way. And so he understood who God was. He loved God. He was inclined towards God, and he had all that great blessing. But when he transgressed the commandment of God there in the Garden of Eden, he brought upon himself and all of his posterity, which is all of us, the loss of all that. That's what being dead in trespasses and in sins is. It's not just being sick.
Nope.
It's not just being, and don't get me wrong, corruption exists and sickness exists in these bodies. There's no question about that. But it's not just being sick. It is a complete alienation from God.
Amen.
And a separation that is not just physical.
Right.
It's not just something that's a part of our understanding, but something that's a part of our very nature.
Right.
You know, when people talk about free willism in the sense and context that the worldly church uses that, they miss the point that if you're dead in trespasses and sins, there's nothing in you to freely will,
right,
after the things of God. And that's because you're dead in trespasses and in sins. It's because your very nature and my very nature is contrary to God.
Yep.
And yet God, who caused his people to be born of the Spirit in the Old Testament as well as the New, and blessed us with an understanding to some degree or another of who God was, and bless the men that I brought into your hearing, and then gave through Moses to the Old Testament Jewish people the land of Canaan. But more importantly than the physical land, that's really, I mean, it was a place for them to dwell, and it was a place that God had given to them. But he gave to them the kingdom as it then existed.
Amen.
He gave to them his revelation of who he was and what he was going to do for his people. He showed them the Messiah who would come and die on the cross of Calvary centuries later. And we see in that Old Testament teaching, you know, and read about the multitude of God's children who had what was then given and walked with it and followed the Lord. And we also see that the children of Israel as a nation and as a people were often very disobedient,
mm-hmm,
to the things that they had been given. And in the process of that, lost out on many of the joys that could have been theirs in this whole world. They did something that we do today, and that was they looked to the nations around. When the Lord originally set up the children of Israel as a nation, there was no kingship. There were the 12 tribes, and they had elders in those tribes, and you know, they served the Lord. It wasn't a democracy. It was a theocracy.
Yes, it was.
And it wasn't intended for people to have their own input as to how it was supposed to be. They were to obey the Lord God of heaven. And of course, the time came when they looked around at the nations around them, and everybody had a king. Some were great kings, some were small kings. And they decided they wanted a king too. And the Lord gave them what he wanted,
yes,
what they
did.
Wanted. So, you know, as God's children, we need to sometimes bear in mind.
Amen.
And he told them what would happen when he gave them the king. He told them the bad things that would come as a result of that. But we want to be like the other nations around about us.
Right.
We want to have a king. Most people thought of kings in that day like many think about the government of the United States today. It's here to provide me what I want when I want it. You know, a lot of people viewed kingship in just that fashion. And so if you had a king and you could get him to give you what you wanted, everything would be A-okay. That's the way people think. That's human nature. It's not specific to certain types of people. It's a part of who we are. And they wanted a king, and they got one. And all the trouble that the Lord said would come to them as a result of that, they got it. And many, many other things along the way that they adopted that belonged to the world around about them. And in fact, you know, they went into the Canaan land and possessed the land because God fought their battles and provided for them and gave to them. And then all along the way, they would pick up things, idols, cultural beliefs, ways of doing things that God had said, you need to leave those things be. And they began to look away from God and to look at the world in which they lived and think, we want to have that. You know, it's been over 15 years ago now, or right at 15 years ago. I lost a job because the company shut down. I had worked for them for 17 years. When I went to work for them, they were in the connecting and making industry, and they were the number one connector maker in the whole wide world, not in the state of Pennsylvania where they were based at, you know, not in the United States of America, but they made more connectors for more places than anybody in the whole wide world as a corporation. Number one in the world. I worked for them for, like I say, about 17 years. Do you know what happened to them as a company? They began to look and see what number two was doing and what number three was doing and began to look at all of the different little trends that were here, there, and everywhere, and they left the business model that had been handed them by the founders of that company. And I saw 400 people lose their job where I was at, and that was just one plant
right out
of a multitude across the corporation that were lost, and now they are no more. That's effectively what happened to the children of Israel. The principle is roughly the same. God gave them these things. He gave them a way to live their lives. He gave them a proper way to worship him. And he showed them who he was. And they began to want to be and have and see and do the things that everybody around them was doing. We have this ministry, the Apostle Paul says. Now, the purpose of the ministry is that we might make known unto the children of God what God has in store for us. That involves all the things that Moses taught. That involves all the things that Abraham learned. That involves all of the history of those people. And that involves all of the things that God did with his people in that Old Testament age, and also the fulfillment of the promises made in the sending of his son Jesus Christ to take away the sins of his people forevermore.
Right.
You know, the next time you hear someone say, and you'll hear this sometimes, you hear someone say, you went to church all day long? You went to church more than, you know, an hour and a half. during the week? Do you have to do that? We get more news than that, natural news.
Sure you do.
If you like sports, you probably see more ball games or golf or whatever it is. If you like to hunt, and when the season's in, you're going to spend more time doing that. I like to garden. I spend more time gardening than that. My point is, and what the Apostle Paul is teaching us here, is that we're given this ministry for a reason, that we may know Him, that we may see who He is, and that we may understand the promises of God that are given to us, because He says, we preach not ourselves.
Right.
You know, but Christ Jesus the Lord. He says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You know, there's a large push, and always has been, to look good in the eyes of other men. Religious organizations like to have big buildings, big temples. And there's nothing wrong with those things in and of themselves, but normally they've come to be worshipped. And many times in things that God has given His children, just as the children of Israel do, we come to abuse and misuse those things and begin to think that that's all there is in fellowship to God. Not long ago, I had someone to ask me, ask a question that I'm sure will seem humorous to you. He said, do you believe in the Holy Ghost? And I'm like, what Christian doesn't believe in the Holy Ghost? But what he was trying to speak of, what he was really trying to get to, was the gift of the Holy Ghost and the blessings the Lord bestowed upon His children and continues to bestow upon us. And he began to talk about how we need to get the Holy Ghost back in the church. You know, and this is not an old Baptist, this is another order of people. He said, I know it's controversial, but he said, you know, you don't see the signs of the Holy Ghost like the apostles had. And I'm there talking to him and listening to him. And he's telling about how we need to get, how that Christians need to get the Holy Ghost back, and we get the signs and we have the Holy Ghost. And I just simply said, if we get the Holy Ghost, won't we have all the signs we need? And if the Holy Ghost is gone, it's because we've left the Lord, not because the Lord has left us. If we don't want to see His presence, if we don't want to enjoy all that He's given to us, He may turn us over to that for a little while. And we see that some in the world in which we live today. But for those who have the ministry, for those who long to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You see, it's not the gifts that God gives us. The ultimate thing that we want to know about today is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The doctrines of election and predestination, they don't mean anything if we don't have Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The meetings that we gather together with and the blessings that we hear and the things that we think about, they all become empty and void if we don't have Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The good works which the Lord has commanded us to do and created us unto mean nothing if we don't have Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There's no hope of heaven.
Right.
There's no hope of happiness here in this life.
Amen.
If we don't have Him.
He's it.
The Apostle Paul said, we're here not to preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
Amen.
In fact, he told these same brethren, you know, that determined to know nothing among you.
Right.
But Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And he goes on and says, "For we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." In other words, it didn't come from him.
Right.
The Apostle Paul wasn't some good old boy that had gotten everything all together and now started. And a lot of people think of it this way. They don't think of necessarily the Apostle Paul as a good old boy, but they think that the church of Jesus Christ is something that the apostles sort of gathered up with a little guidance from the Spirit of God after everything else went south in our Lord and Savior's crucifixion. And that's widely believed and widely taught among people considered to be Christians today. When the truth is, our Lord and Savior came to die on that cross and take away our sin.
Amen.
The very pivotal point in the history of the world when the Son of God hung suspended between heaven and the earth, and my sins and your sins and the sins of every little child of God was literally laid upon that spotless body, and he suffered the torment that belonged to you and me.
Amen.
And when he was finished, yeah, when he had said, "It is finished."
It is finished.
And he had taken away our sin debt.
Right.
His purpose for being here on this earth was done.
Right.
And he died, was buried 3 days and three nights, and rose again.
Amen.
Now he continued to fellowship the apostles, and then through the Spirit of our Lord and Savior, he continues to fellowship us to this very day.
Even to the end of the world.
That we may see the glory of God in Jesus Christ himself.
Amen.
You know, I forget which one of the disciples one time asked Jesus to show us the Father.
Right.
You see. And our Lord said, "You've been so long with me, and you don't know me? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Creator of this world. If we see him, we've seen everything we need to see." And to keep our minds focused upon what God has provided for you and me, because he provided for our eternal salvation, not just the escape from sin, but the making of us pure inwardly in the new birth, and these bodies will be made the same purity in the resurrection, and will be all carried home to be with the Lord.
Right.
No, I told you so, sir. Any disagreements over a particular scripture that me and Brother Gary might have today or might find out tomorrow, they won't be there then.
Amen.
You know?
That's great.
It'll all be in him. And we'll be as he is.
Right.
And we'll all be satisfied. But the purpose of the ministry, and I know you've been here for, this is the third day now, hearing the gospel message, which to the world and many even of God's children seems ridiculous.
Foolish.
But we're here for a reason. We're to see him. Why is that so important? I'm going to move on down to the end of what I read. He says, "For all things are for your sakes."
Right.
"That the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day."
Right.
In other words, though in these old bodies, we're perishing away. We're all getting older. And no matter how old or young we are today, if we live to average life expectancy, we're going to get older and we're going to get weaker.
Yep.
And we're going to have problems in this life. But though the outward man is perishing,
there you go,
the inward man, the new creature in Christ, is being renewed day by day. Being comforted, being strengthened, being reminded that God is going to take us home to be with him. And that all of the heartache and grief that we have here on this earth is going to one day be gone. He says, for our light affliction,
right,
which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Not the way the apostle Paul puts that. He says, for our light affliction.
Yeah.
Sometimes it don't feel too
don't feel
light.
So light does.
Sometimes it feels like it's overpowering. And sometimes you might wonder, where's the end of this and how am I going to get out of this?
Right.
And lest we should forget, the Apostle Paul understood that. He'd been whipped.
Affliction,
he'd been whipped. Yep. He'd been stoned.
Yep.
He'd been chased from city to city. Let down in a basket. Left for dead.
He knew about it.
He knew about affliction.
Yes, he did.
Sometimes we think about the great things that the Apostle Paul did, and we think, must have really been easy, must have really been nice. You know, but when you really get into what happened there with the Apostle Paul, shipwrecks, you know. He knew about affliction. He knew every bit as much about it as you and me. In fact, at least for a time in his ministry, he needed almost the constant care of a physician on a day-to-day basis. He says, but for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, in other words, it's just here for a little while, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Because you see, he says, for the things which are seen are temporal.
Right.
But the things which are not seen are eternal. You see, this gospel message is here to remind us and renew us day by day. To teach us that the suffering that we feel today and the hardships that we see today, they're just here for a little while. But the glory of God and His Son, Jesus Christ,
eternal.
That is eternal.
Amen.
That's never going to end.
Amen.
And it's always going to be here. And so, to the world, it may look foolish to be here for 3 days and to hear the gospel preached. You know, and get away from the things that we naturally like to do in this life. But when you really understand what we're doing here, we're here to remind each other because we're all weak and feeble. We're all falling short.
Yep.
We all have misunderstandings.
Right.
And we're all forgetting things that Amen. We've known and been taught
yeah,
before.
Absolutely. Need to have pure minds.
But we have those minds stirred up.
Right.
We're reminded that, yes, we're getting older, and yes, we're getting weaker, and yes, the world is getting worse, and yes, we don't have any time for this, that, and the other thing, but let me tell you, there are some eternal things
Amen.
That feed you and me.
Amen.
And the things that are out here, they're just here for a little while, and I don't know how long the world's going to be here, if it's going to be here another 6,000 years, or if it's going to be gone in 100 years, so forth and so on. I don't know any of those things, but it's just here for a little while.
Right.
And it's going to all burn up. Big Brother Stanley said that.
Yep.
It's going to all burn up and be gone. But the things that we're hearing about, they're eternal.
Eternal.
And one day, we're going to see Him face to face.
Amen.
We see Him through faith now. And we see the glory and beauty of that when we're raised up in our Lord and Savior and the worries and cares of this world just seem to fall away. Imagine what it's going to be like
right.
when we're able to hug His neck.
Amen.
When we're able to see Him face to face.
Thank you.
And truly be thankful.
Yes.
Like we want to be now, but right. just don't know how.
Absolutely.
You see? Because the gospel message that we have today, that most of God's children are not spending the time to hear, is intended to remind us that there are eternal things, that are far greater and far more glorious than the vanity and the chaos and the drifting away and the falling apart that we see in every other aspect of our life every day.
Yep.
I mean, I know that the scientific community would like to have you and me believe that the world began ever how many billions of years ago, and it's been evolving and getting better and better and better and better ever since. But every day, what you really see is that the earth is getting worse and worse every day. There's a reason why those bugs aren't as affected by antibiotics as they used
to be.
There's a reason why we have to have hybridized plants in order to get past some of the problems that exist in this old world today that at one time did not exist.
Right.
And there's a reason why we need to take care of the things that we have. It's because this earth is decaying away. And yes, we're a part of that, but it's decaying away whether we're burning fossil fuels or not.
Right.
In other words, this world is flying apart, and so is man, and so is mankind. But God, who is rich in mercy, sent His only begotten Son.
Amen.
And He went up Golgotha's hill.
Absolutely.
And He hung there on a cross, and He took away our sins as far as the east is from the west.
Amen.
And He's coming back a second time.
Amen.
Without sin. You know, He came without sin the
first time.
Though He took our sins upon Him. But you know, when He rose from that grave, He was just as much without sin as He was before the sins was laid
Amen.
On Him.
Yep.
And He's coming back again. But He's not going to set up some kingdom here on this earth. He's not going to rejuvenate this old earth. He's going to take His people home to be with Him.
Amen.
The whole family of God. Every one of us made like Him and satisfied.
Amen.
Let's look
unto Him.
And let's spend our time thinking upon the things that are eternal.
Right.
That we, being delivered as far as we have, don't become consumed by the world in which we live. And I don't mean that we're ever going to lose eternal salvation, but I'm saying that we can lose the joy, the peace, and the happiness that God has provided here for us.
Right.
If we begin to look at the world in which we live and all that's out there, and take our eyes off our Lord and Savior. What happened to Peter when he was walking on the water?
Right.
He took his eyes off
the Lord.
And when he took his eyes off the Lord, he began to sink into the water. Fortunately, he cried out to the Lord. And the Lord reached down.
Lifted him up.
And lifted him out. Remember when you're falling. To cry out to the Lord. And we're all going to take our eyes off the Lord sooner or later. There's no use for any of us to think that we got it all together and we're not ever going to do that again. Because we will. We'll be just like Peter. But I want you to know something else about Peter. Peter did walk on the water for a little bit.
Yeah, it is.
You know, the other disciples, they felt like they were pretty safe in the boat. About as safe as they was going to be.
Yeah.
And what I'm saying is that as God's children and as Christians desiring to follow our Lord and Savior and the true church of the living God, we need to understand that the only safety that's in the boat is the fact that the Lord has control over the storm.
Right.
The boat itself can't do much for us. And so Peter sought to walk on the water, and yes, he sunk down in there. But the Lord pulled him out. If we find ourselves sinking, let's call on the Lord and He'll pull us out. But if He bids you to walk on the water, don't stay in the boat. Get out and with your eyes focused upon Him, begin that walk.
Amen.
We may fail. We may do the exact same thing Peter did, but we'll feel the touch of our Savior's hand pulling us out of that. May the Lord add
Amen.
His blessings.
Amen. I appreciate that so much. It's like where your treasure is where your heart is.
Yeah. It's all